Tonight, we want to ask the question, who shall deliver? And the answer, of course, must be God. He's the only one that can do that. But we take this from Romans 7, 24 and 25. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The King James margin says, or this body of death. Body of this death, this body of death. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We're going to wait till the end to get back to that, but he asked the question, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Jeremiah 3:22, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Jeremiah 8:22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why is then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? What's wrong here, you see? Jeremiah 17:14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. In Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. A believer complained that while he read the Bible, he did not have a real desire for it. While he prays, his heart is not really in it. For you and I to answer his need, we have to distinguish between the disease and the symptoms of the disease. The symptom is prayerlessness here. That's our focus on Wednesday night. But what is the disease behind prayerlessness? The answer is that this believer was living under the law and not under grace. We have a promise in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Prayerlessness, we were seeing last time, is a sin. The restraining of prayer is sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for, and here's the reason why it won't have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. If we understand this, we understand that this thing of being under grace is what gives us power over sin. While you're under the law, you are under the dominion of sin. Since every Christian is saved by grace alone, there are only two types of Christian life. One is lived partly under law, partly under grace, and the other is lived entirely under grace. You must begin with grace. You can't get saved by law. But then you may leave grace and try to live under law. And naturally, the carnal nature tends to make us set grace aside and think we can proceed in our own power in law-keeping. But the two things, you may believe in grace, you may even preach grace, and yet not live under grace alone. Yet the two things are very, very different. Compare. Law demands, grace bestows. That's where the power comes from. Law commands but gives no strength to obey. Grace promises and performs, doing everything for us. This is the new covenant. He says, instead of everybody telling everybody else, now you have to do this, you have to do this, he says, I'm going to put the law in your heart. Law casts down, law burdens, grace comforts. Law casts down, grace makes strong. Law condemns, grace makes victorious. Law appeals to self to do its utmost. Grace points to Christ to do it all. If you fix your ear to listen, so many of the evangelists and other preachers that seem to be people that people say, boy, they really get this thing going, you know. They're preaching law. It appeals to self to do its utmost. And so have you really given your all? Are you doing everything? Have you, you know, and everybody says, no, I haven't. And everybody, yes, that's right. And you know, now you're under conviction. The preaching of grace would be give this over to the Lord. Law requires us to strain toward a goal we can never reach. Grace requires us to believe, and it works God's blessed will in us. The pure grace life lives in full freedom. Living in full grace means you live in full freedom from self-effort and experiences the fullness of God's strength. Continued failure in the Christian life is the symptom of living partly under law. Paul tells us that we have not received the spirit of bondage again. We had the bondage under law-keeping. We have not received it again. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received, by contrast, the spirit of adoption. You've been made a part of the family of God, the very family of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. That's the liberty, spirit-given liberty. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, which is the law. So we are free from the law. We are no more servants or slaves, but instead sons. Galatians 4:7, wherefore art thou no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I think then we can say, in summary, that all failure in Christian living stems from believers seeking to do themselves what grace alone can do in them. So let's focus on doing three things. Step one, completely accept your failure and inability as God has been trying to show you. Do not try to strive against it. Now, the underline the word your. Not God's failure, but your failure. Own it. Say, I have failed. This is the result of that law keeping. We cry, Uncle, I can't do it. We're not the Pharisee, so proud of ourselves that we fast twice a week and tithe everything we have. Rather, we're the publican who says, just be merciful to me. Have mercy. We often resolve to pray more and to pray better. We resolve, but we fail. We do not have the strength of will required to change our habits. So difficult to find time for more prayer. We do not have the necessary power for supplication and pleading. We don't have that determination. Instead of prayer being a joy and strength, it becomes a source of continual self-condemnation and doubt. Yet we really do not expect to change. Let us find the hidden cause of our failure and despair and then recognize how sure divine deliverance is. Can we give this to Him who can do all things? Step two. Sink down before God in utter helplessness. Come before Him acknowledging your inability. Admit that unless grace gives you deliverance and strength, you will never do better than you have done. Be Peter walking on the water and say, unless you enable me to do it, I can't do this. This is yielding. This is submission. This is the attitude of dependence on God. And he urged this in his letter to Laodicea. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He's writing this to a church, to believers. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. The focus here is stop being independent in your thinking, for you are not independent in reality. And then step three, come out from under the law. Just set it aside. Stop the trying. Stop the reduplicating of your efforts. Come out from under the law. Come out from under self. Come out from under human effort. When you say, I'll try harder, what you're saying is, I can do it if I just work hard enough. Take your place under God's grace and allow God to do all. Because we are Christians, we believe in saving grace. We understand our complete inability to save ourselves. What we miss is sanctifying grace. Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, as you received him by grace, so walk ye in him. The sanctifying grace must be in the same picture. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. You receive grace and you receive the gift of righteousness, which is what you're after. Same chapter 5, but verses 20, 21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, that we would really sense how bad our sin was. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that, for the purpose that, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign. Sin opposed to grace. Grace let it reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We've got to come under grace. Romans 6:15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We've admitted our absolute weakness. We present that inability before God, saying, I cannot, but you can. And so his grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul says, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. Now that I see the path to overcoming is acknowledging my weakness, I glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Not my power, but the power of Christ. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. It's the acknowledging of the weakness, of the utter inability, that opens up the power of God. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able, amen, to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things. See, that's the supply, isn't it? All sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work, like prayer, like taking the word of God and just reading it, loving it. So perhaps you have worked hard in the flesh to build a prayer life. Maybe not, but perhaps you have. You have given earnest effort, used every whip of shame or love to goad yourself into prayerfulness. You've had some law, some stone tablet law, and some preacher, Moses, somebody, came up and beat you over the back with that stone tablet. Pray, pray, pray! I'm trying, I'm trying. Consider the word of God. You are not under law, but under grace. Romans 6, 14 and 15. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. The world doesn't get this. Romanism mocked Protestantism by saying, if you don't make the people do it, they'll never do it. That's because they weren't saved and they didn't understand salvation. They didn't understand grace. You've got to make people do it. Galatians 5:18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. There's a way of life that isn't a cringing obedience to law. It's being led by the Spirit because of love. So, we come full circle back to the beginning verses. In Romans 7, Paul gives us a picture of a believer's life under the law, with bitter experience of his past life, striving to climb the ladder of self-righteousness. He ends the chapter with Romans 7:24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And he provides the gracious answer, the next verse, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who will deliver me? I thank Christ. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Fleshliness is the serving of the law, but it tends to sin. His deliverance was by, in fact, the Holy Spirit giving him the full experience of what the life of Christ can do, what it could do in him. So he says in Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So let me focus on that. The law of God could only deliver us into the bondage of the law of sin and death. Law even of God, much less the law of churches and groups and all that. But the grace of God can bring us into and keep us in the liberty of the Spirit. So, how do we do it? We admit. Step one, we completely accept, admit our failure and inability. Step two, we sink down before God in that utter helplessness and admit that if it doesn't come from Him, it's not going to happen. And step three, come out from under law, out from under self, out from under human effort, and take your place under God's grace. Allow Him to do it. Let those virtues be found in you as you plead with Him and say, I can't do it. I recognize I can't do it. But the Spirit in me can. Comments or questions?